Good morning and welcome and happy Mother's Day to all our ladies out there. Thank you for tuning in to this morning. So I hope each of you have a great day today. So blessings to you on this Mother's Day in 2020. I do have a big announcement for our church to make. You've probably seen it through an email or through our Facebook page, but I just want to personally just invite you to think about coming to our service on May 24th, which is Memorial Day Sunday. We want to make that a day to remember as we come back together to worship, Lord willing. And so what I mean by Lord willing is, you know, things can change. So please stay tuned. And so that's what we're shooting at for May 24th at 10 o'clock. But please stay tuned with that. And so also go to our Facebook page. Click on there if you're interested in coming or thinking about coming. And so we want to make sure it's safe and best for as many people as we can to be here and continue to be in prayer for our governor, our mayor, as we think about reopening on May 24th as a church. And so, again, just thank you for ahead of time. Thank you for your patience. You know, a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago texted me and says, you know, hey, is there anything you're running low on? And I said, yes, I'm running low on patience here lately. And so he says, yeah, me too. And so we don't want to make sure we're running low on patience during these times. So please be patient with us and make sure that we're not getting impatient too quickly as we move forward. So please stay tuned. So Lord willing, May 24th, we hope to open up as a church one more again. So I know all of these days have been taxing on us for sure. So please hang in there. We just don't know when things are going to take place. And so, but one of the many things I love about our country is that we honor women, from our moms to our grandmothers to widows to our single ladies. We take time as a country to remember the impact that you have on our lives and our society. And so we are living in and through historic days. Our kids and grandkids are going to be reading about this in history books in years to come. And so, but throughout history, it's been amazing to see how women have stepped up. Even how God has raised women up to make a big difference in historic times. Let me give you some examples. Many of you probably remember Moses and Aaron in the book of Exodus, but a lot of people don't forget that Miriam was a big impact on that, on the Israelites as they moved from Egypt into the Promised Land. And so Miriam was a leader in the family to help those ladies come out of Egypt and prepare their families and all of those things. So women had a huge impact back then. Then there was Deborah, who kind of led a military campaign in the book of Judges. Then there was Esther, who was an orphan girl who was adopted by her uncle Mordecai, who became queen and made a huge difference to save the Jews during those days of Persia. And so then there was Ruth, who was just a committed daughter-in-law to Naomi during some hard times in famine and drought. And so even in loss of Naomi's and Ruth's husband. And so they stuck together and worked things out and lived life together and had a huge impact on generations to come. Then there was Hannah, who was barren and didn't have children, and she prayed and asked for a son, and God gave her a son, and she gave birth to Samuel. And so just this simple mom who wanted a child, that God gave her a child in Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. And so you just never know what God's going to do in uncertain times, who he's going to raise up, what's he going to do. Then there was Mary, Jesus's mother, who was a single mother. And so you see Joseph off the scene. later on. And so Mary was raising kids, raising Jesus. Jesus went off into ministry, but Mary was there at the cross. She was there with all the disciples. And so Mary was kind of like that first single mom who had to raise kids on her own. And so God uses all of these situations and circumstances to raise up women to be a blessing to our families, to our homes. And so ladies, continue to do that. And so we even have some modern day heroes, ladies that have been stepping up in our culture, in our society, from doctors to nurses to nurse practitioners, from lab and scientists to missionaries, to police and firefighters, ladies getting involved in the military or in politics. There's also teachers and coaches and principals and leaders for nonprofits. The moms that stay at home or who run a small business, who own businesses. And so just thank you for making the impact on our lives and our society. And so please continue to do so. You know, you are amazing. God is using you to do great things and amazing things. So thank you for making a difference. What you do matters. And always remember that. What you do matters. And so last week I mentioned about the new series we're starting today called Making Life Work. Principles to help us navigate this life and give us some direction to help us not only enjoy life, but to make the most of our lives on this earth. And so many of us at different times in our lives have discovered that life sometimes doesn't seem to be working for us. It seems to be working against us. And so we want to learn some principles together to help make life work for us. And so there's a book called When Life Doesn't Work. And a famous author and pastor, Bill Hybels, writes the introduction to this. And he writes this little quote. He says, "Life is difficult for everybody." And I'm sure all of us can say amen to that. There are hard jobs. There's hard marriages. There's hard family dynamics. But some people compound their problems by ignoring basic life principles that can help them. So we're going to be on this journey together to learn these seven principles, or possibly more principles, to help us be better at life and making it work for us. Many of you probably remember the comic strip of Calvin and Hobbes. And so Calvin is a elementary kid, and he's in class, and as the teacher is attempting to teach and lead the kids, she says to them, "If there are no more questions, we'll move on to the next chapter." When Calvin raises his hand and says, "I have a question," and she says, "Certainly, Calvin, what is it?" And he says, "Well, what is the point to human existence?" Wow, he just put that question out there. And she goes, "Well, I meant any question that pertains to the lesson, Calvin, at hand." And he says, "Well, frankly, I'd rather have this issue resolved now before we expend any more energy on any other topic." And so what he was simply saying in this direct and blunt way was, hey, we got to figure out this question first before we understand everything else. And so I'm going to be dealing with this question, not only the point of human existence, but what is the big point to life? How are we supposed to enjoy life? How are we to make the most of our life today? So we have to resolve life's biggest question. Do you have it resolved? I hope you do. But let's just start in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. And so, just like Calvin, as we're learning this key principle, this answering this key question, because without learning this main lesson in life, we're not going to figure out anything else. And so we have to resolve this question. And so if we learn it, then we will get a PhD, so to speak, on life. Well, in the last week of Jesus' life, which we celebrated several weeks ago towards Easter, in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked this question by an expert in the law. He says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment. And so Jesus responds with, notice verse 26 or 36. He says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Then he says something very amazing. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Wow, that's a big statement. The whole Bible, all the law and the prophets hang on these two things. And so Jesus was narrowing down, think about this, 613 commands of the Old Testament. So this expert in the law was asking kind of the question that Calvin was asking his teacher. He was asking Jesus, "Hey, what's the big picture? What's the big question or the biggest commandment or greatest commandment is there? So let's start at the beginning and learn about life from there." Because if we nail down the beginning, then we can understand the rest of our life. So what is life really all about? And so Jesus narrows it down from 613 down to two. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are very popular commands, but let's just break that down a little bit, because there's some foundational principles here that we have to get right, because if we don't get this part right, we're not going to navigate the rest of our life. And so this is a huge principle to learn. It's a relationship principle to learn. It's a foundational principle, because if you lay the wrong foundation in your house, cracks are just going to appear all over. And so you're going to like wonder, what's going on? Why is there cracks on the wall? Why is this in the corner over here shifting? And so we call in a painter, we call in somebody to do patchwork on those things, and it's not really the wall's fault. It's really due to a faulty foundation. And so here's my big point. If we get the foundation wrong, then all we're going to do in our life is just constantly repair cracks, which aren't the real issue. The issue is we don't have a strong foundation. So if we want to make life work for us, we have to understand, I have to be in a love relationship with God. I have to be in relationship with other people as well. And so let's just nail down this first principle. It's a governing principle. And so Jesus says the whole Bible hangs on these two things. And so they're about relationships and they're about love. So point number one is, life is all about relationships. Your first priority of relationship, Jesus says, is with God. He is your first love. Let me just ask you a question. Do you have a love relationship with God that's real and personal? Do you even want one? He longs to have one with you. I want you to know that. He longs for you to be in this love relationship with him. We're going to talk more about that. But do you realize that he created you and knows you and loves you? I hope you realize that. I hope you know that. You may be thinking, well, first of all, is there even really a God? Then if there is, then does he really love me? And if he loves me, then how has he shown me or told me? Well, let me just encourage you with this, dear friend, and that is, he has told us through his word. So even like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son." So the fact that Jesus even came to this earth is a demonstration that God loves us. And that we have an historical record and proof that Jesus was actually here. So there's no denying that. And so we can't deny that there is a God. We can't deny his love for us, because Jesus came. And Jesus even quoted John 3:16. And so secondly, the greatest aspect of his love for us was not just that he came, but that he died for us. He died on the cross. He died in our place. He gave himself up for us. And so I want you to realize that. I want you to understand that, because without understanding His love for you and your love for Him in response to that, you're not going to get the foundation quite right. So how do I come into this love relationship with God? You may be thinking, well, I have to put my trust in Jesus Christ alone for my eternal salvation and forgiveness of my sins. That's first and foremost. When we put that first priority, that first foundational principle together with God, us and God are in love with each other, man, then life just seems to work out sometimes. So please understand that. Get that resolved in your heart. And so the other part of the command was to love others. And so we have to live life with other people. And so we as much as we want to social distance in our time frame and in these days, we can't really, because we're around people all the time. Whether at work, whether in our family, whether our neighborhood, whether our kids, we are around people all the time. And so life is not only all about relationships, but life is also about love. And I love what Jesus does here. He ties in our love relationship with God, then he ties it right into our love relationship with people. Because love is the greatest virtue. And with love in our hearts, it gives our lives meaning and passion and purpose. Paul said that love actually is the fulfillment of the law in Romans 13:8. And so of all those commands, Jesus was saying of the 613, that love is the fulfillment of it all. It's like, what do you mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. Since I love my wife, I do what she asked me to do because I love her. If I didn't love her, then I probably wouldn't do those things. And so all the commands that God gives us, we have to think about this, they're an aspect of a channel for us to love Him or get to know Him or what's on His heart or what He desires for us. And so the more I get to know Him, the more I get to understand how He operates and wants to bless our lives and to give us direction for our lives, because He knows what's best for us. And so Jesus combines these two principles of relationships and loves and love and puts them together and says everything hangs on these two commands. So think about this. Your whole life, your foundational principle is centered around these two commands. Your whole life. Loving God and loving other people. You can't get around it. If that's the greatest thing, greatest commandment, and the greatest sin, think about this, is to not love God with all our heart, and it's to not love people. It's like, well, that's not a investing kind of life for me. That's kind of just existing in this life if I don't have love for God and love for people. I just become bitter and angry and miserable, frustrated all the time. Those are the cracks that I'm talking about a little bit ago. But we have to love God and love others. When we love God, we love Him passionately, Jesus says, intelligently with our mind, and emotionally and physically. We serve Him with our strength. There's a king in the Old Testament named Abijah who was a descendant of David. And so in 1 Kings 15, it says this about him. It says, his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, like his father David was. And so something was missing in his love for God. He probably had some love for God, but it wasn't 100%. It wasn't an all-in kind of love that Jesus was talking about. And so, could you imagine on your wedding day telling your spouse, hey, I'm going to love you only 60% of my heart? Can you imagine telling them, hey, only 60% of the time I'm going to just be in love with you? No, we would never do that, so we would never even do that with the Lord either. Why would we do that? We want to love Him the way He loves us. He loves us with all our heart, all His mind, all His strength, and with all His soul. So why wouldn't we want to return and reciprocate that love to Him the same way? there was a king that followed Abijah. His name was Asa. And it says this about him. I love this. It says, his heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. All his life, he loved the Lord with all he had. And if that's the greatest commandment that Jesus is talking about, then that's the greatest thing that can be said of us, is that we love him the rest of our life. So think about that. You know, that is a phrase I would say about my own personal mom. She loves the Lord with all her heart, all the time. My mother-in-law, the same way. There's ladies here at church that are examples of that as well. They love the Lord all the time. I hope that can be said of you. So love God passionately, love others purposefully. What would love look like or be directed towards like other people? Because love is an action word. So how would love look like towards your husband? What would love look like towards your kids or grandkids? Would you show tough love? Would you correct them? Would you nurture them? Would you teach them? What would love look like towards your friends, your family, your church family, your neighbor or your neighborhood, to anyone who is in need? What would love do in response to our situations around us? Our country and our county has some great needs. And I love seeing what all our folks are doing, whether through Salvation Army or through our senior services. People are being raised up at this time to be a blessing to those in need. And many of our ladies are championing those causes. And so ladies, I say thank you for doing that. And guys, thank you for doing that. And so in these times of need. And so ladies, love God with all that you have for the rest of your life. That's my encouragement to you today. That's my challenge for you today. Make that commitment today in your heart to say, you know what? I'm going to love him the rest of my life. That's one thing I'm going to nail down today, that foundational principle to just love him with all I have. And if you do that, you're going to enjoy life and you're going to make the most of your life. And that's what we want for you. That's why we're here. And so if you have any questions, please reach out to us through Facebook, whether through our website. Click on Change Lives there, Real Change there. Get a hold of us. We will help you discover a love relationship with Jesus Christ that is like no other. That's our role while we're down here. We're to model that, but we're also to help you teach you how to discover that. So once again, happy Mother's Day to you and blessings to you. Maybe through all of this, maybe you recognize that your heart really isn't close to God as you may think it is. It's like I'm like that Abijah guy. My heart's not really fully committed to the Lord right now. And so right now I'm going to just recommit my heart to loving him and loving others the way he wants me to do. So maybe you need to make things right with other people as well. Maybe God is convicting you. It's like, hey, I need to be better at relationships with other people because life isn't working in these things. Love hasn't been working for me. And so maybe there's some things I need help with. Maybe there's some things I need to change. But love is the greatest virtue. Love is the greatest aspect to our lives. So learn the principle of this relationship principle with God and relationship principle with other people. Don't live another day without loving God and loving others. It's just not worth it. And so, Lord, I pray today, Lord, for our moms. I want to pray a prayer blessing over their life. Lord, I thank you for my mom. I thank you for my mother-in-law, all the ladies. I thank you for my wife, Lord, who is putting her life as online, so to speak, out there on the front lines as a nurse, Lord, in this battle, this invisible battle that we're facing. And so Lord, I just thank you so much for her. I thank you so much for our families that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you that you have raised up so many people during this crisis to be and make a difference in our church, in our community, And so, Lord, we just thank you. Continue to protect our nation. Continue to protect us as people so that we can be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.